I happen to have put on a new suit this evening. It's like I can make a bracha. Baruch Hashem, Shechianu v'kimonu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh.
Amen.
Baruch Hashem, we're back. We're back and we begin something new. We resume the Tuesday night chabura. We resume the focus on learn halacha b'yin, taking areas of halacha that are lamasa and seeing them through from Gemara, in this case, off of Mishnayos, through the Rishonim, Turbo Yisos, and Shulchan Aruch. Hopefully, the opportunity to work b'chavrusas well over the course of the week. And at the same time, something totally new. Not only that we're taking a break from our focus on Yerodea, which then we'll resume our focus on Yerodea after Yom Tov, with Machalei Akum, we're taking a break to look at Choshen Mishpat, specifically Siman Samach Zayin. But as you've seen from the Maram Kamos, this is not just a break from Yerodea to shift to Choshen Mishpat, but this is definitely a Davar Haba Mizman Lizman. The language that the Rambam uses in talking about Shechianu, this is maybe not tonight, maybe at some point we'll have to talk about whether or not there's a bracha on Shmitas Ksafim, and if there is, should there even be perhaps a Birkas Shechianu. But this is a very unique opportunity. This is once in 7 years, an opportunity for Klal Yisrael to have Shmita. Come join us. And Shemitah's Ksafim in particular is an aspect of Shemitah that appears to apply equally all over the world. Shemitah's Karkos is agricultural. Mishnah tells us near the end of the first parak of Kiddushin, in listing different rules of mitzvos and categories of mitzvos, Mishnayos tell us near the end of the first parak of Kiddushin that agricultural mitzvos, with very few exceptions, apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes the Midi Rabbanon will apply in the area right around Eretz Yisrael, Ratzos HaSmuchos, but if we're living in New Jersey, we unfortunately have no opportunity to keep the mitzvahs of Lekat Shekhan Peah, to keep the mitzvahs of Trumas and Masros, and nor do we have the mitzvah, the opportunity to keep the various dinim of Shemitah's Karkos, neither the Isser Malacha, nor the Kedushas Peiris. If you happen to have a plum tree growing in the backyard, that's lovely, but there is absolutely no Kedusha to the plums growing in Bergenfield. But one aspect of Shemitah that appears to indeed apply equally all over the world is Shemitah's Ksafim. So this is our opportunity, no matter where we are, to really reach out and make contact with the year of Shemitah. The year of Shemitah is drawing to its climax, and here's our opportunity not only to practice Shemitah's Ksafim, and perhaps we'll have a chance towards the end of the month to convene a Bezim for Prose Bowl, but also to come in with having learned the sugyas, to come in with an appreciation of what it is that we will and will not be doing. Now, some of the things I just said, they all sound very nice, hopefully. They are of various degrees of truth. The Torah does tell us in Parshas Re'eh that the Torah tells us a number of times, of course, the Chumash is a concept of Shemitah, most at greatest length in Parshas Behar. Hence, Ma'in Shemitah et Har Sinai. Because the Torah says Bahar Sinai, and then first he's talking about Shemitah and Yovel. But in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah returns to Shemitah with a new focus on the financial aspects of Shemitah. The Torah says, you made a loan, you should do the mitzvah to lend money. That already appears in Parshas Mishpatim. And you should be lending money even though Shamot Kobama Sheyado. You're going to let go of the loans during Shnas HaShemitah. So Shnas HaShemitah, you can let go of the loans. And Torah says, you have a mitzvah to let go of the loans. Don't be no gays, right? Don't seek to collect those loans. And the Torah goes on to even say, don't be concerned, well, how am I going to lend money? How am I going to lend money if Shemitah is going to cancel loans? No, don't worry about that. So that's the concept of Shemitah's Ksafim. It is, as the Rambam and others count, a mitzvah saseh and a mitzvah lo saseh. The Rambam has Shemitah of Yovel is mostly about the agricultural aspects, the Shemitah's Karkos and the Kedushas Peiros. But the ninth parak of the Rambam, Shemitah of Yovel, is dedicated to Shemitah's Ksafim. And he opens, mitzvah saseh, la shmit ha-malva, a milva b'shvias, a mitzvah daraisa, a mitzvah saseh, to let go of the milva. And if you instead that seek to collect the loan, Toveya Chov Shavra Lav Shmias, Shemitah went by after beyond the Erev Rosh Hashanah, in a couple of weeks from now, and I go over to and want to collect a loan that had gone, been processed by Shvias, I violated Isra Lo Sasa. So that's a Din Daraisa, Psukim in the Chumash, Mitzaseh, Mitzas Lo Sasa, and the last chapter of Masecha Shvias, the 10th Perek of Masecha Shvias, is dedicated to these dinim. The Mishnayos are interesting. The way they're built is very symmetrical. There are, I believe, 9 Mishnayos. The first 2 are about Shemitah's Ksafim, and the last 2 are about Shemitah's Ksafim. In the middle is this Takana Drabanan, it would seem, of Prusbel. This idea we're going to begin to talk about, touch on a little bit tonight. But that's sort of an add-on. There is a din of Shemitah's Ksafim. And then Hillel develops and popularizes a way of making an end run around Shemitah's Ksafim, a way to be able to lend loans, to make loans, or another way to make loans, they are not going to be canceled, to Shemitah-proof them, to Shemitah-proof your loans. Prusbel. So the middle 5 Mishnayos are Prusbel, but the parak begins and ends with 2 Mishnayos at the beginning, 2 Mishnayos at the end, that's sort of the core underlying din of Shemitah's Ksafim. The 2 Mishnayos at the beginning are about which or when, and the 2 Mishnayos at the end are about how. The first 2 Mishnayos raise a question of which loans are susceptible to Shemitah and which are not. And the 2 Mishnayos at the end raise a question, okay, let's say you are, Shemitah Ksafim does apply. If it applies, what do you do? What actually happens? What's the conversation between the Malv and the Lova and so on and so forth? And in the middle, in between the does it apply and how you do it, you have these middle Mishnayos about the Prusbel. So it's a parak of Mishnayos, and it's a Psukim in Re'eh, it's a parak of Mishnayos. Perek of Mishnayos and Shvias. And then the Bavli, now there's no, as you know, the Talmud Bavli is primarily the middle Moed, Nashim, Nezikin, and Kachim. The Amram and Eretz Yisrael spent a lot of time learning Zerahim, because it was Halach L'Maaser for them. That's why there is Talmud Yerushalmi, all the Masechtas of Zerahim. But the Amram and Bavel, for them, these dinim were not L'Maaser. So they learned it somewhat, but not as much. And that's why we don't have Bavli on Zerahim, with the exception of Brachas, which is obviously Halach L'maisa. But every once in a while, you will have a section of Zerahim, a subsection that is Halach L'maisa, and it finds a home somewhere in the Bavli. And one of those examples, maybe the most prominent example, is Shemitah's Ksafim. Where does it find its home? In the middle of the 4th parak of Gittin. What does Shemitah's Ksafim have to do with Gittin? Well... every once in a while, Mishnayos and different Masechtas get into sort of a zone where we have like a series of Mishnayos about different topics, but have some sort of, you know, format that ties them together, like the Ein Bein, the end of Masechet, first parak of Megillah, a whole slew of topics with the same style of sort of contrasting, you know, what's the difference between two similar areas of halacha? Yeah, the Menachos, and so on and so forth. So here in Gittin, you have a long series of Mishnayos that stretches across more than one parak. Various takanos and chazal mevipnei tikkun olam. They saw a social issue in society, and they made a gzeira to seek to address that, to seek to cure that issue in society. The first example of it is a halacha about get, about someone who's a fellow sends a shliach to deliver get to his wife, and then decides to cancel that shliach, so that's a very, very severe issue. Chazal made a takana. Gamliel makes the takana say tikkun olam. Once you have the p'nei tikkun olam, then the mission is off to the races. And you have the rest of the 4th parak into the 5th parak, a whole series of mishnayos covering so many different areas of halacha. Takanas p'nei tikkun olam. Okay. Lama dalam beis, the Mishnah mentions, Hillel tikkun prusbel. Tikkun olam. So the Gemara decides to spend a blot and a half talking about first addressing itself to Prusbel. Then it's clear, it's very, very clear that the Amoraim were looking for an opportunity. They were looking for a place to plunk down Shemitah's Ksafim. Because first, the Sugya will take a look in a moment. Those who worked in the Marmukom with Sarai saw it. We'll take a look, all of us together, in a moment, look at some of the Gemara. But it's clear as you go through that blot and a half, Lamed Vav Amalaf, Lamed Zayin Beis, that the Amoraim knew here's our chance. Because after the discussion of the Mishnah quotes, you know, Gemara there quotes in Mishnah Shvius and tries to figure out our principle based on the Mishnah here. But then the Gemara says, okay, Tanan Hasta. Well, there's another Mishnah in that Perek, and let's discuss that. And there's another Mishnah in the Perek, and let's discuss that. There's another Mishnah in the Perek, let's discuss that. Because here's their chance. So here they fit in not all, but most of the sugyas of Shemitah's Ksafim appear in that blot and a half of Masechas. And that's the central address. There's a little bit in Makas in here and there, primarily in Gittin. We're going to, as I mentioned, the address and the hook to discuss Shemitah's Ksafim in Gittin is Prusbul. But I mentioned before, Prusbul is a detail. The underlying core is Shemitah's Ksafim, as Mrs. Hassein and Mrs. Los Hassein, to cancel the debts and not to seek to collect them. Prusbul is one detail, an interesting detail, but a detail. Here's one particular way to Shemitah proof your loan. It's a detail. What's intriguing, and we're going to, over the course of the next couple of weeks, because Shemitah's Ksafim happens at the end of this Elul, as we'll discuss tonight. Over the course of the next couple weeks tonight, Mirtz Hashem will be the first of four Chaburas tonight, next Tuesday, and then the following two Wednesdays, just looking at the Simcha calendar for our shul. I want to start with the logic, please. Start with Shemitah's Ksafim, and then we'll move later in the month to Prusbul. But we're going to see that the opening sugya, take a look at in a moment, the opening sugya, although it's officially about Prusbul, because the Mishnah of Gittin is about Prusbul, very quickly ties together, gets from Prusbul into the core issues of Shemitah's Ksafim in general. Just a word before we open a Gemara, if you have a Gittin, feel free to grab it. If not, feel free to grab one from the shelf, or to look on with a friend, or to listen, whatever floats your boat. Take a look in a moment at Gittin Lamed Vav, but just sort of to lay in the groundwork, one more key point is just to appreciate part of the appreciation of this opportunity for all of us to keep Shemitah is learning the dinim, but certainly also to frame the hashkafa. I mentioned some of you Friday night. The Sefer HaChinuch is beautiful. Sefer HaChinuch writes in Parshas Re'eh, in discussing this mitzvah, it was Tafayin Zayin, is that right? Is it Tafayin Zayin? The Sefer HaChinuch says the following. He says, I already told you earlier in Parashat Mishpatim, when I began to talk about Shemitah the first time, I told you that it's a two-pronged mitzvah, that it's both emunah and midos. Shemitah is certainly about our emunah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it re-strengthens, it reinforces that the awareness that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's taking care of us, and we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be partners in crafting our destiny, including our physical destiny. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to do Hishtadlus, but at the same time to recognize that we're junior partners. Ultimately, you know, efforts are on us, but results are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says that's perhaps the most obvious aspect of Shemitah. Once every 7 years, you just step back. You're not going to go to work if you're a farmer. And on the financial side, I'm not going to collect all these loans, even though people owe me money. If I need the cash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send it my way. So it's a very, 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 very potent way to reinforce my awareness that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's calling the shots. And he says, Sefer HaChinuch goes on to say, as I told you in Mishpatim, there's another aspect to Shemitah, which is the midos aspect, that I develop my meat of generosity. So many of us struggle with, I worked so hard, not only I worked hard, I think it's all me, but I worked so hard, not only I think it's all me as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I have a hard time sharing. Sometimes we go to work, we schwitz, it's hard to share, it's hard to be generous. And so the Torah says, once every 7 years, you can go to the other extreme. You're going to open up the field and anyone can traipse through your field as though they belong as much as you do. Wow, what a remarkably powerful exercise in developing generosity. And certainly that's at play in terms of, I lent you money. The money is mine. And I just say, I walk away. No, you keep it. Wow. Then he says, there's a third element also. In addition to it being an opportunity to radically strengthen both my bitachon and my nedivas, he says it's also a powerful antidote to our desire for opium, for other people's money. We all struggle. Chazal say, Ruben Begezel, one of the most common Yitzhi Hara that people have is, we want what other people have. And so he says, once every 7 years, you're going to take what's yours and let go of it. The person's going to say, even what's mine is, I'm going to let go of from time to time. Certainly, Kal v'chomer, he says, I'm not going to seek to take what belongs to other people. So this is powerful medicine. The Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us taking this medicine all the time. But once in 7 years, you have a dose of Shemitah's Ksafim, which works on our bitachon, which powerfully works on our sense of generosity, and again, a sort of an additional siyag against Gezel. So sort of it's a very multi, from a hashkafic perspective, and from a personal growth perspective, very multi-dimensional mitzvah. So with that in mind, let's take a look here on Lama Vav Amud Aleph. So again, so Lama Dalma Beis is the Mishnah Gittin. Several different takanas, and the last one is Hillel Tikkun Prusbul with Tikkun Olam. So the next blot and a half is about the beginning of the Mishnah, and here you are. Ah, there you go.
More.
You know, bring a few. Shkoyach. Fantastic. So now we also have it for the Chabur, and we show it to learn B'chabur, so you're looking for Gittins. And I thank you for finding them. Sira Alam and Vav Amud Aleph. Just peeking through, before we dive in, you see over the course of Vav Amud Aleph, you see on the side that Misar Sar sends you to Shavia's Peri Gud Mishnah Gimel. And then you see along down Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. Shvi is Perikud Mishnah Vav, Shvi is Perikud Mishnah Aleph, Shvi is Perikud Mishnah Beis, and then the top of Lama Zayinu Beis, Shvi is Perikud Mishnah Ches. There's all those Tanan Hasams. But here we are at the beginning. Hillel Tikkun Prusbul, the Mishnah says Hillel's Misakim Prusbul, if they Tikkun Olam. So what does Prusbul mean? Presumably means here's a debt that were not for the Prusbul, it would be uncollectible, were not for the Prusbul, the Malva, the lender, would have to waive the loan. And because of the Prusbul, he gets to instead collect the loan and extract the money, retrieve the money from the borrower. So first the Mishnah says, first the Gemara says, well, this already appears in Masechah Shavuos. I told you the middle five Mishnahs in the Perek begin with Mishnah Gimel. Here we are. Shavuos Perek with Mishnah Gimel. Tanan Hasam. A Mishnah over there in a different Masechta and Masechah Shavuos. Prusbul ain't a Mishamit. Prusbul does a loan with a Prusbul does not get waived, does not get canceled, and the Mishnah there goes on to say Ze Echem in Advam Shehiskin Hillel Hazaking. This is one of the takanas of Hillel Hazaking. Why did he make this takana here in Gittin? There's very little explanation. Just Mipnei Tikkun HaOlam. But what exactly was the social ill that was being cured? So in Shvius, they get the story. Roa Sa'am Shenimnu Melahalvoseh. He sees that the people were hesitant to lend to one another. But Avro Mashakas Betorah, he shamar lecha penyeh davar levavcha b'liyal. They were violating that pasuk in Re'eh, that beware of having this evil, wayward thought that I'm not going to lend because I'm going to lose the money. Amat v'hiskin prusbul. So he sees that people, the violation of this aveiro is rampant. Because people say, if I'm going to lend money, so then what's going to be? So he said, Gvalt, people are violating a lav d'oraisa. That's what it sounds like. Amad v'hiskin prusbul, he gets up and he says, Rabosai, and b'masakin a prusbul, zeu gufo shel prusbul. Next Mishnah Dal goes on saying, what is the body of the prusbul? You look at the text, the prusbul is a document. So what are the guts, what are the legal guts of the Prusbul? There may be a date before and after, names, but the core is the Gufo Shel Prusbul, is Mosereini Lachem, Poloni Uploni Danushmakum Ploni, I hereby hand over to you so-and-so-and-so-and-so Dayanim in this location, Shekachov Sheishli Eitzel Ploni Sheagvenu Kol Zman Sheretzah. Whatever debt I have, I can collect it whenever I wish to. Dayanim Chosim Lamato Eidim, and it's signed either at the bottom either by the judges themselves, the members of the Beis Din, or by Eidim who witnessed this Mesir. Okay. So as I said, we're going to, for now, not going to focus on the latter half of Mishnah Dalet. The Lineder, later in the month, we'll get to how exactly, how does that work? Why does that work? Why does it work? But that was Hillel's Takana. You write a Prusbul, and you execute a Prusbul, not just write, execute a Prusbul in front of a Beis Din. It sounds like the Prusbul is a record of a conversation that the lender had with the Beis Din, and that conversation is documented, and that conversation renders the loan Shemitah proof. Okay? And Hillel, so what was it? We think about this mission. The first thing that strikes you is that apparently there is an Iser to hesitate to lend. And in fact, I mentioned before, the Rambam begins Perek Tes to Shemitah of Yovel with the mitzvah saseh and lo saseh Shemitah Ksafim, mitzvah to let go of the loan, a lav, not to seek to collect it. At the very end of the parak, the last halacha in the parak, parak tes halacha lamed, he quotes this other lav. Mishanimna milahalvos is chavir kodem hashmita. A fellow was hesitant to lend to someone else before the shmita. Why? Shema yisacher achov esov yishamait. He's worried that I'm really supposed to be able to collect the loan in chodesh el. But what? In av. But maybe the guy won't pay. He won't pay. He'll drag it out. Drag it out. Shemitah ends, and now I lose the loan. So if I hesitate, if I refuse to lend because of my fear, Shemitah suffim. Avar balosa sehi shamalacha.
What's
the masa?
The masa is
good point. There is no masa, and that's why the Rishonim point out there is no malchus. But if I refuse to lend you money because I'm worried about Shemitah, so there is no Malkus. That's we pass like those Tanam who say Lav She'en Bamaisa Ein Lo Kehav. If I at the Pesach Seder, the most famous example at the Pesach Seder, there's a big Karban Pesach, and we overestimate how hungry we would be. We underestimated the number of people we would need to finish the Karban Pesach, and Lamaisa we're all full. Or we say, let's take a little nap, and then So next thing you know, the birds, the sun is shining, the birds are chirping, and it's the morning of Pesach. And we just violate the lav of lo sosiru imenu ad boker. It's a lav, because the Torah says, do not, lo. But it's a lav, she'en bo maisa. So we paskin, like those tanam, who say, lav she'en bo maisa ain loker lav. So that's true here as well, you're right. If a fellow indeed does not lend the money, no malchus, because it was passively violated, but it is a lav. And a lav that was severe enough that the Mishnah says that was Hillel was so concerned that people violate that lav that he felt the need to set up a prusbul so to encourage people to be once again comfortable lending money and not chas v'shalom violate this lav she'en bo ma'isim. It's interesting, the Tzvi Cohen in the Sefer Shemitah Tzafim, fantastic work. He quotes voluminously. So he points out that Rishon Zalman Arbach in the Tshuvas in the Cheshlomo points out that it's only, and that's the impression you get from the Rambam also, it's only if the reason why I hesitate to lend was because I was worried that Shemitah would cancel. In other words, you're not a credit risk. If I wouldn't lend to you any year of the cycle because I just think I'll forget Shemitah, you're just going to disappear, or you're just going to fade away, or you'll be the nicest guy, but it's just not going to happen. If it's not about Shemitah, so then, even if it happens to be that it is the Shnas HaShemitah, and Shemitah's Tzafim is coming, that's not the law of Nimna Malavos. It's specifically when what's driving my... I would lend you the money, were it not for the fact that I think Shemitah... I'm worried about Shemitah canceling. We paskin that Shemitah only cancels loans that are already due. due and payable. That's why the Rambam's language was Shami Yisachem. In other words, it's only, it has to be that it was already due before the Shemitah moment. So if you actually paid on time, it would be fine, but I'm worried that you may delay until we pass the Shemitah mark, the end of the Shnas HaShemitah, and then it's going to cancel. So that's that lav, and that's a lav that's interestingly recorded explicitly in the Mishnah. Mishnahis usually don't call psukim, but here they do. Mishnahis usually don't tell stories, but here, and don't give history, but here it is. This is very, very, principle is very significant. Now, so okay, so one thing that strikes us, and look at this Mishnah, is interesting. There's a lav, and the Hillel's understanding, that's actually, and that's why the Rambam quotes, it's actually a law. It's not just saying you shouldn't do this, it's really an Issur. Okay, so and it's to avoid, just as there's things we don't do so we don't violate Melech HaShabbos, there's things we don't do so we won't violate the Achilles Bas B'chalav, you have a takana to avoid violating this law of Lo Yiyem Levavcha, Hisham Lecha. But what the Gemara is bothered by is the next problem is miyika midi de midaraisa mishamta shviyas vehizkin hil de la mishamta. How could that be? I understand. You have a din daraisa shmita ksafim. And Hill comes on and says, no shmita ksafim. How does that work? Now, there's another such din that often pops up, Tishrei. Of Minatorah, I'm supposed to do X, and Midrabanan, I don't.
Shofar.
Lulav, right? The Lulav in the first day of Yontif is Daraisa. But if both of those days fall out, when both of those days fall out on Shabbos, there's no Shofar, there's no Lulav. And the Gemara raises that problem as well. Akira Stav Minatorah. Matter of fact, the Gemara initially, Rosh Hashanah thinks there must be how can it be that I don't blow shofar on Shabbos? The Gemara thinks it must be there's some pasuk that indicates that the mitzvah only applies 6 days a week, doesn't apply on Shabbos. And the Rishalmi accepts that lemaskan. But the Bavli says, no. The Mehatorah shofar applies any day of the week, even Shabbos. But we have examined Rabbanah because they're worried about Chil Melech HaShabbos. Chas V'Sham, you're going to carry on Shabbos. So they cancel the mitzvah to avoid the law. Like here, that's what it sounds like here. They cancel the mitzvah Shemitah Ksafim to avoid the lab. How does that work? Now, Abaye's answer is, you're right. It's not the right. Abaye, the Shvius was not as ever, Rebbe. Oh, it's Shvius nowadays. And therefore, it's Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Who says what? Here they go, our quotes. Rebbe Omer, Vezed Devar HaShemita Shamot. That one of those psukim in Re'eh has the word term Shemitah twice in a row. Zed Devar HaShemitah, this is the din of Shemitah. Shamot Kabal Masheyedah. You're supposed to let go of the opportunity to collect your debt. So why do you have the word, the term Shemitah twice back to back? B'shtei Shemitahs HaKasimadah. But Rebbe Darshins, that we're really referencing two different Shemitahs. Achas Shemitahs Karkav, Achas Shemitahs Ksafer. Shemitah of the land and Shemitah of money. Bizman shah to mishame karka to mishame ksafim zman chiyat to mishame karka iyat to mishame ksaf. We would have assumed that shmitas ksafim applies all over the world and applies at all any year in the Jewish history. But no, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi held it, and that is indeed what the Chacham hold. The Chacham hold shmitas ksafim applies bizman hazem in the Torah. But Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says no. There are times when shmitas karka doesn't apply, and in those points of Jewish history, Shemitah's Ksafim also, Min HaTorah, doesn't apply. When is that? So that's some debate, Rashi Tosis. But they both agree, Rashi and Tosis both agree, that essentially what the Gemara is saying, different ways of how you read into the Gemara, is that Yovel, the Gemara is clear elsewhere, that Yovel does not always apply. The Sugi and Erechin and elsewhere, Yovel, once every 50 years, Shemitah is every 7 years, but it was also a 50-year cycle. Yovel only applies Bizman Sherov Yosheveha or Kol Yosheveha Aleh. You only have Yovel when when Klai Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, according to many, specifically Klai Yisrael living by Shevet in Eretz Yisrael, so when all the Shvatim are represented, you need Klai Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, which means at the very least most Jews in the world, and perhaps also means every Shevet represented. So that doesn't, we haven't had that in many centuries. So Yovel doesn't apply with all the dinim of Yovel, and that's why there are some. Then there are several other dinim that only apply when Yovel applies. Eved Ivri only applies when Yovel applies. That's why you haven't had Eved Ivri in a couple thousand years. Here, the implication is, and Shemitah doesn't apply when Yovel doesn't apply, and including Shemitah's Ksaf. Tosas thinks that Shemitah's Karka means Yovel, and Rashi thinks, no, Shemitah's Karka means the agricultural parts of Shemitah, but that in turn is tied to Yovel. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and according to, I should add also one more point, most Rishonim, Rabbeinu Tam, and this Tosas, this long Tosas that wraps on Talmud Beis, is a notable exception. Most Rishonim say Yovel hasn't applied since near the end of the Bais Rishon. Because in the days of the Bais Sheni, you learn Sefer Ezra, most Jews stayed in Bavel. Most Jews did not come back there to Israel. So most Rishonim assume that means that Yovel hasn't applied since the end of the Bais Rishon period. Once they took away the Aseres HaShvatim, that was the end of that. And according to Yehuda Hanasi, Shemitah has not applied Min HaTorah since the end of the Bais Rishon period, which means that Hillel was already living when it was Rabbah. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. Rabbeinu Tam thinks that during the Bais Sheni period it did apply, just by his lifetime, where he lived after he was an Amora, it didn't apply. And the Gemara goes on to say, turning the page, "V'takina Rabbanan, d'tishamet zeich l'shvi'is." So Shvi'is b'shmita b'zman hazeh is Rabbanan. That's what Abai says. How does Prisma work? Because the whole Shmita is Rabbanan. Because Min HaTorah Shmita Sefem hasn't applied in centuries, since the end of Yovel. That's whose position? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Rabbi Omer. The Chachamim say Shemitah is independent of Yovel, Shemitah is Doraisa B'zman HaZeh. Rabbi Hanasi says, no, Shemitah is Drabbanan. Shemitah is not Min HaTorah. So what is it? Well, Drabbanan. Why the Mishnah is talking about it? Because Min Drabbanan it applies. But it applies the whole thing as long as Drabbanan. The whole need to let go of the loan is Drabbanan. So then, what was our question? The open question was, how does Hillel have the right to cancel Din D'oraisa? The answer is, he didn't cancel Din D'oraisa, he canceled Din D'rabbanan. Okay, that's what we call Heim Amru, the Heim Amru. The Chachamim make a Din D'rabbanan, they have the right to continue to legislate. But now you might be bothered by the same problem in a second iteration. Which all have done is kick the can down the road, the Gemara says. One second. There still was a cancellation of a Din D'oraisa. It's just it wasn't Hillel canceling Shemitah's Ksafim. Because Abaye told me, Hillel held like Rabbi Hanasi, or Rabbi Hanasi, Hillel's great-great-grandson, held like Hillel, that Shemitah's Rabbanan, and that's why you could cancel it. But, one second. So, take a step before Hillel. Bizman HaZeh, Shemitah's Ksafim does not apply Min HaTorah, according to Rabbi Hanasi. Which means Bizman HaZeh Min HaTorah, what's supposed to apply if you didn't pay me this month and I come to you next month? Min HaTorah, what should be? Pay, right? That's a Din D'oraisa. You have to pay your debts. Priest Bachal Mitzvah, there's a Lav of Osashok. There's a real deal. A real Din D'oraisa. You have to pay your debts. But Midrabanan, there's a Shemitah's Ksafim. So the Gemara says, well, what does that mean? How does that work? So forget about the step two of Hillel undid Shemitah's Ksafim, when the earlier Chachamim added Shemitah's Ksafim Midrabanan. How'd they do that? How'd they say, the Min HaTorah, you the lover, is the Mechiv to pay me, the Midrabanan don't pay. Midrabanan don't pay. Viter, how do you cancel Din D'oraisa? You're Mechiv to pay. So the Gemara says, you haven't really, that's what I said, you just kicked the cane down the road. And this, by the way, is what I was saying before, although the Sugya, remember I told you when we got started, the Sugya officially is about Prusbul, but it thrusts us into the core of Shemitah's Ksafim, and we're going to intertwine even more. Here on the third line of Lamavavamid, How could it be that min haTorah there should not be any shmita? Very well, no prizbal necessary. Min haTorah shmita's ksafim ended centuries ago. Midraban, there's a shmita. How are they misakin the shmita's ksafim? Zeicher l'shvius. What do you mean? Very nice zeicher l'shvius. I undo a din d'oraisa. Here, Abaye and Rava give some familiar answers. Amar Abaye Sheval Tasso. Abaye says, well, the answer is Sheval Tasso. How do you not blow shofar on Shabbos? I mean, the Torah is supposed to blow shofar. Maskanas HaBavli. So how do you not blow, you said, right? Midrabanan, don't blow shofar on Shabbos. How? So the Gemara Yevamos, beginning of the 10th parak, has a big sugi about, can the rabbis undo Dinam Daraisa? Is there, can the Chachamim be Oker Davar Min HaTorah? So we seem to hold, the Machlok is Rabbi Chista, we seem to hold, no. Chachamim were empowered to add new Isurim, but not to undo what already is there in the Torah. So Gemara says, yeah, but have all these cases. So there says, well, there must be three or four exceptions. Even if you hold, as we seem to, that generally, ain koach b'yad chachamim, lak or davar min haTorah, says the sugi yivamis, daf peites, daf tzadi, begin the 10th parak. But there are certain cases where they're exceptional categories. One category, the most familiar category, is Sheval Tasa. Chazal can't say, Midrabanan I'm telling you eat the tray for food. They can't say, Midrabanan I'm telling you go do Malacha on Shabbos. No, that they can't do. But they can say, don't do the mitzvah. Don't blow shofar. Don't shake a lulav. Sheval Tasa, be passive. Don't. They can't tell you go ahead and do an aveira, but they can say, don't do a mitzvah. Sheval Tasa, Shain. That's what Abaye says. We tell you, don't pay your loan. You're a borrower. You have a mitzvah daraisa to pay back your debts. An Easter against not paying that. Okay. But Midrabanan, Sheval Tasa, don't pay the debts. Zeicher l'shvius. That's Abaye's answer. Okay. And what does Rava say? So what Abaye says? So we have Abaye twice, right? First, the girl wants to know, how did Hillel undo Prisbal? How did Hillel undo Shmita's step with the Prisbal? So Abaye said, no, the whole Shmita is only Drabban of his mouth. Because if Hillel is aligned with his great grandson Rebbe, who holds the Shmita's Ksav is on Zez Drabban. It's tied to Yom. Oh, okay, well. But then Shmita's on Zez Drabban, if it's not the Raisa, how'd they create me Drabban? He said, oh, don't worry. It's a Sheval Tasa. Rava gives a different answer. Rava's answer is a different category, a different exception the sugya has in Yevamos. One exception when Chazal can be Oker Din D'Oraisa is B'Shev Al Tasa, like Shofar B'Shabbos and Lulav B'Shabbos. Another example, the Gemara, that same sugya in Yevamos says, is Chazal have the right to make Din Drabanan in the world of Dinei Mamonos. Hefker Bezdin, Rava says, in the fifth line, Rava Amar, Hefker Bezdin Haya Hefker, Chazal are empowered, the Torah empowers Chazal to change the ownership of items. Gemara quotes two different drushes, a lot to say, but I don't want to focus on that so much right now. But that's another case. Chazal can say, you don't have to pay the money. Chazal can say, that's not yours. They're empowered to do that. Sounds like a level of Daraisa. Oh. So one category where Chazal can be Oker Davar is Sheval Tasa. Another category where Chazal can be Oker Davar is Dini Mamas. Okay? Dini Mamas. So Hefker Bez and Hefker. They have the right to say, sometimes it'll be in a specific case, a fellow's being mechutzav, misar of Ladin, doesn't want to listen to the Bezin, they have the right to declare some of his property Hefker. Okay. Or in a more global sense, not just case by case, they can make a takana. They can make, how do Chazal make a takana that this kinyan doesn't work? Min haTorah became mine when I paid for it. But Midrabanan only becomes mine when I actually take delivery, Mashicha. So how Chazal change who owns it? Hefker Bez and Hefker. Takanos and Dinei Mamonos tend to be based on Hefker Bez and Hefker. Torah, it's mine, Midrabanan is not mine. Torah, it's yours, Midrabanan is not yours. Hefker Bez and Hefker. Okay. Now, so far so good? Go. Okay. So, we had a Mishnah. Shvius, a Mishnah Gittin, Takanas Prisbal. How does Takanas Prisbal work? How is Hillel undoing Din D'Oraisa? So Abaye says, oh, well, it's not Din D'Oraisa to begin with. Okay. Then it raises question number two. Well, if Shvius ben Vazez Drabanan, how do they do that? Abaye says, oh, well, that was based on Sheval Tasa Shani. Rava Amar, Rava says, Hefker Bezdin, Hefker. What's Rava answering? What's Rava answering? So I would have said, well, Abai and Rava are answering the second question. How do Chazal create a Din Drabban or Shmita Tzafim? In the Torah, I owe you the money. How do they say I don't have to pay you? So Abai says, based on one of the rules, Akira's Davar works by Shev Al Tasa. And Rava says, one of the other rules, Akira's Davar works by Hefker Bez and Hefker. You look at Rashi, Rashi says something fascinating. Rashi says, Rava Amar, Lamed Vav and Beis, and this is where, think about Shach Vitaria is going to take us into Halacha Lamaisa, Shmitas Ksafim and Shmitas Karkos and Heter Mechira. It's all coming together. Watch this. It's all from Machlokes Rashi and Taisus about Shach Vitaria. It seems like the nitty-gritty mechanics under the hood. Watch this. Look at a Rashi. Rava Amar, see the narrow lines, Lamed Vav and Beis, La'olam bein l'rabbanan depligah de Rebbe. Really, even the Rabbanan who disagree with Rebbe and say Shmita farshmatzes milvazaza is daraisa. Still, Hillel was misakin de law teshmit. Wow. But also, according to Rebbe, he says it's not daraisa. And how do the rabbis say kreishmi self the Rabbanan? Both kashas, lo tikshi davar, neither kasha shver. I have one answer for both, which is Davar Shavim Mamon, Ein Kan Akira's Davar Na Torah, Hefker Bezen Hefker. That's what Rashi just said, is Rava's not only answering the second question, he's also answering the first question. Wow. Tosas doesn't agree. Tosas on Dir Maschel Mim Lavav Malf says, no, Rava's not answering the first question. But Rashi says Rava's going back to the first question. Shach Vatariah, like, what's Nafkamina? According to Tosos, there's only one answer to the first question. How does Prisba work? The answer is, Shemitah must be Drabbanan Mismaza. According to Tosos, that is never, there's only one answer to the first question. So if I ask you, is Shemitah Mismaza Drabbanan? The answer is, Machlokes Tanoim, for sure. Tosos would say, but Abaye pointed out, but we clearly pass like Rebbe, because the whole concept of Prisbul, which is we clearly accept, is built on the assumption pass like Rebbe. So if the middle five Mishnahs in the last paragraph of Shvi is all talking about Prisbul, and everyone's doing the whole sugi about Prisbul, so Tosva says it's all based on Rebbe. So clearly we pass like Rebbe, that Shemitah is not a Zezra Abanan. But Rashi said, no, Abaye said it's based on Rebbe, but Rava said, I don't need Rebbe. Hefker Bez and Hefker. So I have no idea this to be passing like Rebbe the Chachamim. In other words, according to Tosfos, it's clear that Shemitah B'zman Zeh is Drabbanan. And by the way, Prisbul only works if Shemitah B'zman Zeh is Drabbanan. Rashi says, no, Abaye was convinced that Shemitah B'zman Zeh is Drabbanan. Rava leaves the issue wide open. Wow. So is Shemitah B'zman Zeh Daraisa or Drabbanan? Good question. Chalukas Rashi. Why does it matter? Why does it matter? Either way, Prisbul works. Either Prisbul works because Shmita's Drabbanan, or maybe, according to Rashi, Rava thinks Prisbul works even Shmita's Daraisa because of Hefker Bez Hefker. Well, the most famous Nafkamina is Heter Mechira. The Heter Mechira, which is developed by a number of famous rabbanim in the late 1800s. It's a historical mistake to think that Rav Kook created Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira was around decades before Rav Kook came to Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook yarshened, the whole complicated history to it. The Rav of Yafo, the preceding Rav of Yafo, his predecessor, had been the Rav of the Heter Mechira, because the rabbanim in Yerushalayim, which at that point in the 1800s were the Eidei Charedes, they initially didn't want to accept it. Really came from Europe, that the Mechir. Rabbana, the Eidei Charedes in Yerushalayim didn't want to accept it. But then ultimately they came around and said, okay, we need it. We're not going to sign on it, but you should go to the Rav of Yafo. He'll do it. Okay. So then when Rav Kook took over as Rav of Yafo, they said, by the way, part of the job description is you have to oversee that the Mechir. That the Mechir was big Rabbana, big European Rabbana in the 1800s. But the heter mechira, the notion that if I sell the land of Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews, that allows me to do avodas hakarka. So that's based on a number of assumptions. Shemitah's karkos is not our focus right now. But suffice it to say that one of the assumptions that the efficacy of the heter mechira is built on, certainly efficacy in terms of the heter to do agricultural work, the conversation begins on the assumption that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Rabban. If the whole Shemitah to begin is only Rabbanan, if the whole Isser Shemitah's karkos min haTorah lapsed when Yovel lapsed and Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Rabbanan, so then we make another one or two assumptions, then Heter Mechira will work. But if Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Darais, then the Heter Mechira doesn't get off the ground. That comes from right here. Rashi says, Tosa says, there was only one answer to the first question. The existence of Prisbol tells me that we pass like Bionasi, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Rabbanan. Rashi said, no, that was only a bayi. Rava leaves it wide open. And by the way, you look in the Rambam, so he's a subtle, but clear. The Rambam, when Rambam, unlike the Mishnayos, he's very, very methodical. He begins the Perek test with Shemitah Tzafim, and then up until Halacha Tezvav, Halacha Tezayin, to the end, the last 15 halachas are Prisbol. He tells you the story. Rahez al Zakein, Nimnam Lahalvo Zeze, Perek Tes Halacha Tezayin. He's Misakin the Prisbol, coined the Mishnah. The Ein Prisbol Moel El B'Shemitah Tzafim Zman Hazeh, Shehi Medivrei Sofrim, Shemitah Shal Torah, Ein HaPrisbol Moelba. Boom. Frek the Rivid. What's he talking about? That's Abaye. Why is he calling Abaye? Rava disagrees. Everyone knows. Ah, Machlik is Abaye and Rava. We always pass on like Rava, except Yal Kagam. Any elementary school boy who learns El Metzias knows that. So Rava says, what's Rava talking about? This is elementary. You don't pass on like Abaye against Rava. What's he saying? The Rivid clearly holds, like whom? Like Rashi. That Abaye and Rava disagree in terms of this is the first kasha. How does Prisbol work? And the Rava says explicitly, like Rashi. Rava has a different approach. Why is the Rambam following Abaye? So the notes that can point that, well, presumably the Rambam held like Tosfos. So it's not a machlokes Abaye and Rava. There's no machlokes. And that's why the Rambam consistently, at the beginning of the parak, Halacha Beis, says Shemitah Ksafim only applies min haTorah when you have Yovel. And here's a little extra explanation. It says, Midrabanan, it applies in Bizman Hazeh. Gevalt. And now you look at Shulchan Aruch. And now you turn to the Shulchan Aruch, and here you go. Simen Samach Zayin. In Choshe Mishpat, Se'if Aleph, a short Mechaber, a long Ramah. Simen Samach Zayin, Din Shmita or Prisbol. Se'if Aleph.
Amen.
Ain't Shmita's Ksof in the Hegiz, Min HaTorah B'Zman She'Yovel Noeg. Umidib. Min haTorah, you only have Shemitah Ksafim when the Yovel applies. Midivrei Sofrim, Shetei Shemitah Ksafim, Nohegus Ben Hazeh, B'chol Makom. Mechaber is quoting the Rambam almost verbatim. Not surprising. Kedarko, not surprising. Okay, so number one. That's Tosfos and Rambam, that we're convinced that Shemitah Ben Hazeh is Drabanan, and as I said, it can have relevance in terms of Shemitah's Karkos as well. Now, here's where things go in a fascinating direction. Right. Ramah says, well, Kainhu haskamas haposkin. Avol yesh omrim, .. He says, what do you expect to hear? Well, most we show him assume, like we said, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Rabbanan. But some say, what? .. What do you expect to hear? But some say, Shemitah b'zman hazeh is Daraisa. But he actually doesn't say that. Yesh omrim, the ain shemitah nuheges b'zman hazeh. Some say there are three options. One approach is maybe Shemitah b'zman hazeh is daraisa. That's what the Chachamim hold. Shita and Tanaim, and according to Rashi And the Ravid, our Gemara leaves it open as a possibility, right? Because that's Rava. Rava isn't taking a stand on Rebbe versus Chachamim. Okay, that's one option. Shmita says Daraisa. Another option. Shmita says Drabanan. Okay. Nafkamina might be for Suffolk. Maybe we'll get next week. There are cases where there's a Suffolk. You have a 10-year loan. How that works? Okay. But then there's a third option. Zero. There is no Shmita even Midrabanan. Where did that come from? That they don't need principal. Then they don't need anything. What does that mean? And the Ramah goes on to say, "V'nira shaleim sochev zinas elu shaynog in the shmita klal b'zman hazeh." And it would seem that we are relying on that opinion because we don't keep shmita sochev at all. What just happened? And now you're looking at me like, why did you tell me that? Oh, this is halacha l'maaseh. Ramah says, not halacha l'maaseh. So the answer is, you dig back, and the Beis Yosef, if he takes you back, the Gras sends you as well. There is a small group of Rishonim, a minority opinion for sure, but both among Ashkenaz and Sfard or Provence, who think that Shemitah Tzksafen does not apply to us at all. Not Menat Torah, not Menat Pan. I, Mishnais and Shvius, I had the Sugya and Gittin. So there are two primary approaches, schools of thought within the no Shemitah at all. One is that it's a question of time, one is that it's a question of place. The Ran quotes, this is the Sephardi approach, the Sephardi version of the Shita is the Baal HaMor, whom the Ran quotes as well. The Baal HaMor says that there was a time when Shemitah, the time of Jewish Israel when Shemitah was Darius. And then there was a time of Jewish Israel when Shemitah was Drabana. After Yovel stopped applying, we were no longer Rov Yoshvei HaLeah. Again, according to most Rishonim, that was already the end of the Bais Rishon period. According to Bei Tam, that was Churban Bais Sheni. But then the Baal HaMor says, the whole Takana Drabanan of Shemitah Kesafim Midrabanan was only caused by you have a Beis Din Kavua. But once you stop having a Beis Din Kavua, once you have a Sanhedrin, then even the Takana Drabanan is gone. Boom. Fascinating. That's just the Baal HaMor? Okay. And then there's the Ashkenazi. The Darkei Moshe, the Ramon, the Tour, sends you to a number of late Ashkenazi Rishonim who think that Shemitah doesn't apply. And you look in a particular Trumas Hadeshen, Trumas Hadeshen is a very, very significant late Ashkenazi Rishonim, Pesach Halacha Kros Shulchan Aruch. The Trumas Hadeshen says the Rosh already in the 1300s noticed, as Ramah records, that a lot of people just were ignoring Shemitah stuff. It's like it wasn't a thing. And Rush says he was Tzavach Kekruchia, he was giving drushes. And every generation has its... I think Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik points out. Different generations, different communities, different parts of the world, Jewish communities had different areas of halacha that they somehow inappropriately turned a blind eye to. There were times when the requirement to cover hair just sort of was considered to be, you know, irrelevant, not binding. There were times and places among there were communities in the days of Rishonim who felt they didn't have to wear tefillin. The rabbi wears tefillin, but the Baal Batim decided the rabbi wears tefillin and the Baal Batim don't have to wear tefillin. There were Ashkenazi communities again without any halachic basis. That was just a sort of a social.
What about the Rebbe Tom? Rebbe Tom says that the gagolas that doesn't wear tefillin ever is the one that's in the lab or whatever. Right. So in theory, you could learn that Gemara a little.
That's fine.
Tom says that year once you're done.
Okay. I don't think Rebbe Tom is saying it's mutter to not wear tefillin. They'd be saying that particular onesh or kaftan of tefillin is right. Okay. So, you know, different. There were times in Jewish history when people ignored shatnez. Not that it didn't apply, just people socially ignored it. So that's what it sounds like. So it turns out Desha, and then Rush says he was yelling and screaming, and then he tries to figure out, well, maybe it's because they rely on this, they think that we'll learn going forward, not tonight, that are certain sorts of loans that are not bound by Shemitah. Maybe we'll touch on one or two before you wrap up tonight. So Rashi says, well, maybe people are assuming that all of our loans nowadays somehow fit into one of those categories. Okay. Shmuel Sadashin says, he has a different hatzdaka. He says, people, now you look around, the whole communities aren't keeping Shemitah Tzedakah. What does that mean? So he says, well, maybe the takana of Shemitah Drabanan was only Eretz Yisrael. Gemara talks about Shemitah Tzedakah. This sugya has Amaron and Bavel talking about Prisbol. They're not in Eretz Yisrael. There's Aratus HaSmuchos. Maybe only the areas right nearby. That concept does come up by Trumas and Isis from Drabanan. Whether Bavel is included now is a good question. But the translation is maybe no, in Egypt and in Bavel, in the Middle East, you have to keep Shmitas Ksafim. But we live in Europe, France and Germany and Spain, that the Takan Drabanan never was made. So again, as I said before, the two primary opinions are Shmitas Ksafim Zazah is Drabanan, that we pass in like Ruyanasi, or maybe we should pass in like the Chachamim, it's Daraisa. But you do have a minority opinion in Rishonim that the Shmitas Ksafim does not apply to us at all. Either, like the Baal HaMor, that it, because of the time in Jewish history, we're post Beis Nagadol, or Shmuel Sadeshin, the place. That the whole Takan Drabanan of Shmitas Ksafim was only in and around Eretz Yisrael. That's, by the way, why the last two words of Shulchan Aruch was the Shmitas Ksafim Nehagas Bizman Hazeh Bechol Makom. He's coming to say, I don't hold like the Baal HaMor, and I don't hold like the Trumas Hadash. And it applies even nowadays and anywhere in the world. So then the Rama goes on to say, look, maybe the reason why, maybe there's so many people in our part of the world who don't keep Shemitah Ksafim, they're relying on the subpoena number three. And he says, there are Rosh raids mentioned in the Tshuva. He was yelling and screaming that people have to stop this inappropriate minig of ignoring Shemitah Ksafim, and people weren't paying attention to him. Okay. And he says, look at the Marik, look at the Trumas Hadeshan. Okay. So the Rama says, okay, look, maybe. But then he ends the Rama by talking about where we're up to Mishnas HaShemitah. So clearly, we are concerned with Shemitah's Ksafim. And again, the rest of the Siman will continue to talk about Shemitah's Ksafim. And the Rama will talk about it as well. It's not as though the Rama says this rest of the Siman is only for Sfardim and only in the Chabur. No, the Rama, if you flip through the page, the Rama is planning to say as well. The Rama says, look, there are people who are ignoring it, and we can be matzdik, okay, maybe they're following these opinions. But he's not certainly not encouraging that. It actually fascinatingly ends by talking about which year. There is a discussion. The Rama Ray has the Gaonim were debating which year, which is year 7. And he gives you, it's interesting, you look through the poskim here, you can tell when Sfarim were written. Because you look back in the Beis Yosef, he says, well, the Rambam is talking about the year Peites, the Shemitah. Peites is 1329. Then the Beis Yosef quotes the Maharal Bach, said that Reish Samach Dal is the Shemitah. That's 1504. And the Beis Yosef himself says, oh, and that means that Reish Ayin Aleph is going to be Shemitah, 1511. And then he takes it into his time, Reish Sari Tes, Shin Vav, Shin Gimel, in the 1530s and 40s. And then the Rama, right here, says, Ha'ikar, says there is Cheshbon Shnas HaShemit Nafal Machlokes, Machlokes Rishon, Machlokes Gaonim, which is year 7, Va'ikar Shashnas Shin Chaf Zayin Haisa Shemitah. 5320 and 5327, which we refer to on the Christian calendar as 1560 and 1567 were Shemitah. And he says, and if so, then plus 7, Shin Lamadal Haba Aleinu will be a Shemitah. 1574 will. So you know that he was writing this in between 1567 and 1574. He was writing this around the year 1570 or so. It says, Yerotzon Shibon Beis Hamikdash Yachzor Az Lima Shemitah Yovlos Ki Yavo Shiloh. Shiloh is Shin Lamadal plus 1. Shiloh is also a reference to Mashiach. This is b'motzoi shvius ben David ba. That's what the Ramah is being mitzayin to. See, he's davening that ready. This coming motzoi shvius, Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us Mashiach, and we'll go back and we'll have kibbutz galus. We're ready to go back to having yovel and shmita, and all will be daraisa. And the beginning of the sif will be irrelevant. Rav Shecht likes to point out that we are getting closer and closer, bizmanenu, to having rov yoshveha aleha. Now again, if you have to have all the shvatim, so that may not, certainly if you need to have the shvatim living in their ancestral part of Eretz Yisrael, that we don't have yet. But it doesn't, so if you're just looking for raw rov klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the rate of kibbutz galus has been exponential over the last 100 years. From 6,000 to 60,000 to 600,000 to 6 million plus. So it's an exciting times. Exciting times. So this is the core. This is the core of Shemitah's Ksafim. Shemitah's Ksafim is, at its core, again, a dinam daraisa, a mitzvah saseh daraisa, and two lavin, not to collect and not, at the same time, also not to withhold loans because of the Shemitah concern. So those are definitely Dinam Daraisa. Whether the Dinam Daraisa apply Bizman Hazeh or not, we saw unpacks by talking about the Takana of Prisbul, we ended up getting it, as we saw, at the core of where Shemitah's Ksafim. There is certainly a Machlokas HaTanam whether Shemitah's Ksafim is Daraisa Bizman Hazeh or not. Chacham say, yes, it's nothing to do with Yovel. He says, no, it's tied to Yovel, no Shemitah. Definitely Machlokas HaTanam. And definitely Machlokas Amoraim, according to B'Yanasi, Shemitah is Drabanan. How do you create a Shemitah with Drabanan? I mean, I tell you, Machlokas, to pay your loan back, how do you do that? Machlokas by Rava is because of Shevalt, Akir B'Shevalt Taser, or Akir Stav Hashem Amon, based on Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. But then we saw Machlokas Rishonim, Rashi and the Ravid versus Tosas and the Rambam, is it clear in the sug? Is it unanimous that Prisbul depends on Shemitah being Drabanan? Just like I told you, Heter Mechira depends on Shemitah being Drabanan on the Shemitah's Karkos side. The Takana Drabanan, presumably Takana Drabanan of Prisbul, is that also based on an assumption that the underlying Shemitah is Drabanan? If you had Abaye said yes, did Rava disagree? That's a machlokas Arishona, which opens us up to machlokas how to paskin Shemitah Bizman as Edraiz Rabbanon. The Machaber follows the Rambam. Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is the Rabbanon. So there's a third opinion that maybe Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is nothing. There is no Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. Shemitah is Ksafim. Either like the Baal Amar that we're past the point in history when Shemitah is Ksafim Midrabanan applied, or a Trumas Hadesh, and we're out of the zone. It's a spatial issue, not a time issue. And there were communities that ignored Shemitah's Ksafim. We should not. We should not. Certainly, if you think it's Daraisa, if you think it's Rabbanan, Rov Rishonim hold. It's not something around the Hakel. Rov Rishonim hold. The pashas of all the sugyas is that Shemitah does apply Bizman Hazeh, whether Daraisa or Drabanan. And if you work out all the numbers that the Rishonim here are giving, so Tavshin Pei Beis has been a Shemitah year as well. We're going to move Mirtz Hashem next week. Into now that we sort of laid the groundwork for thinking about Shemitah Ksafim, to dig more into Shemitah Ksafim, we'll get to Prisbul maybe in the third Chabura. But in the coming week, B'Chavrusa and the Chabura next Tuesday, want to dig further into Shemitah Ksafim, specifically two major questions. One question is when the first two Mishnayos, when does Shemitah Ksafim apply? What sorts of loans are impervious to Shemitah's Ksafim, which will also help us set up for understanding the Hillel's Prisbul. The beginning of that conversation is at the end of Ma'amar Kamos number one. There are certain types of debts that don't lend themselves to Shemitah's Ksafim. And there'll be more Ma'amar Kamos to come soon, Blue Night within the next day or so. And we'll also talk perhaps as early as next week, about, so how does Shmitas Ksafim work? What does that look like? Doing this mitzvah of Shmitas Ksafim, we started the Chabur with the Shachiyanu, Shachiyanu suit, and we got the Chabur and Shachiyanu, the new sugya, new limud, new chelk of Shulchan Aruch also. But what exactly do you do? Do you make a bracha? Do you make a Birkas HaMitzvah on Shmitas Ksafim? Do you make a Shachiyanu? It's that once in 7 years mitzvah. And what exactly is the mitzvah? Are you doing anything? Is there anything to do? You just passively don't ask for the loan. So that's actually the Mishnayos at the end of the parak. The last two Mishnayos talk about how you do Shmitas Ksafim. So that's the Mishnayos. That's what we're going to focus on in the coming week. Which loans, the beginning of the parak, which loans lend themselves to Shemitah? The end of the parak, how you do Shemitah's Kafim. And then beyond that, Mishnah will have the opportunity to talk about Prisbul. How to do Prisbul, how it works, and what you do. Are there loans that don't lend themselves to Prisbul? Which is can be a very relevant question. Even if I execute a Prisbul, are there any loans that will slip by despite that? So Mishnah will have excitement. To Connor Bostas, thank you so much. If you have not yet, you can get to work going forward on the end, Chela Gimel of Mamar Kamos number 1, and Mitzvah Hashem, more to come. If you're looking for Chavrus, let me know or let Eric know. Thank you so much.
First, so, maybe tomorrow, like, first edition. So, somewhere, isn't it?